You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown and the gainfully employed Lonzo here on the show, here on the station, here in your ear holes, and happy to be. We got 3 more hours to go. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Taking you all the way up till 10 a.m. Right now, however, it is 7 a.m. It is 7 a.m., which means that you have now less than an hour until you've got to get to the office. You've got less than an hour until you've got to be an adult professional. Boo. Nobody wants that. Nobody likes that. But it's Friday, right? You're going to show up. You're going to knock out the stuff that you have to knock out. You're going to take care of the assigned task that you have to get done today. And then what are you going to do? You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go meet Frank from graphic design.
Frank's job's a little, he does a little bit of everything. That's why he struggled with where he was.
I was trying to remember what department old Frank was working in nowadays. Frank works down in the graphic design department. You know, you gotta have that really nice artwork that goes on that spreadsheet before you send it out. Frank's got you. He's got you covered. He's an artiste.
Yeah, he helped me on my last album and didn't charge me a whole lot. You know,
good dude.
Little side thing. Yeah, Frank's the guy.
Was that the one you had the cover on where you were like in the buff with a strategically placed cowboy hat? That album cover or the one before that?
It was the one before that.
Okay, got it. Just want to make sure we got the right album. You're going to go talk sports with Frank, and if you're going to talk sports with Frank or anybody else hanging around in the office today, you got to know what's going on, and if you got to know what's going on, you're in the right place because you get this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three stories in sports that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. If you're gonna, this is what you're gonna be talking about. Let us dive right in with item numero uno. The NBA's all-star rosters are now fully out. We learned our starters earlier this week. Now we know our reservist as well. He turned 21 earlier this month. He turned an all-star today. San Antonio Spurs center Victor Wembanyama is in his first all-star game in his first season, averaging a double-double, 24.4, 10.5 boards for the Spurs. His second NBA season, leading the league in blocks for a second straight year as well after narrowly missing out on one of the top spots in the starting lineup behind LeBron and Kevin Durant. Wembanyama was an easy choice to leave the reserves out of the West. There are seven of them, and joining Victor Wembanyama from the Western Conference, Timberwolves guard Anthony Edwards, LA Lakers forward Anthony Davis, LA Clippers guard James Harden, Memphis Grizzlies forward Jaren Jackson Jr., Rockets center Alperen Sengun, and Oklahoma City Thunder forward Jalen Williams. It's the 11th selection for James Harden, as well as the 10th for AD, followed by the 3rd for Edwards and the 2nd for Jackson, the 1st selection for everyone else. Over in the East, the Celtics got their 2nd player on the team as Jaylen Brown will join as a reserve. Pacers forward Pascal Siakam, Cleveland Cavaliers guard Darius Garland, and forward Evan Mobley are both in. Pistons guard Cade Cunningham, Milwaukee Bucks guard Dame Time Damian Lillard, and Miami Heat guard Tyler Hero are all on the team as well. It is the 9th time that Damian Lillard has been named an all-star, the 4th for Brown, the 3rd for Siakam, the 2nd for Garland, Mobley, Cunningham, and Hero. For Garland, Mobley, Cunningham, and Hero were first-time selections. The Cleveland Cavaliers, yes, those Cleveland Cavaliers, the only team in the NBA to get 3 players onto the All-Star roster. The Celtics with Tatum and Brown have 2. The Lakers have a pair in Davis and James. Oklahoma City Thunder has Williams joining SGA. And the Knicks have Jalen Brunson and Big Cat Karl-Anthony Towns. Those are the only teams that have multiple players on the All-Star roster. The All-Star games will take place on February 16th. We have a different format this year. The 24 All-Stars will be broken up into 3 8-man rosters, plus the winning team from the Rising Stars Challenge on Friday night. They will be playing in a round-robin style tournament of short games to ultimately declare an All-Star game champion. So I don't know how I feel about the format change yet. Like, on one hand, I want to see a basketball game. We're going to kind of get basketball games. On the other hand, everybody's going to get significant PT over the All-Star game, as opposed to some of the guys who are going to check in for like 8 minutes here and there, and that's really it. I haven't landed on how I genuinely feel about the All-Star game format change yet.
Well, they had to make changes after LeBron did what he did when they were picking teams. And he forgot to pick a certain person.
Oh, that was so awkward.
What a mistake that was.
Yeah,
that so, was really so they awkward. Had to change formats after that. I don't know if it happened the following year, but I think it might have. They need to keep tinkering with it to get people to watch.
Yeah, and
if it's more competitive and you know that your guy made the All-Star team and he's actually going to get to play some, maybe you want to watch it more.
Yeah, but also at the same time, like with multiple teams involved, right? We've got 3 8-man teams plus the Rising Stars tournament champions that will be joining. With that many guys scattered across teams, like if you're a fan of a team that got multiple guys in, those guys may not end up on the same team. I don't know. I really don't know. Like when it was East versus West, and I guess I'm going to, you know, go down the argument that I've gone down many times in the past, which is if you're tuning in to watch a real basketball game, you're going to be disappointed, right? Like if you're tuning in to watch a real, genuine, competitive basketball game, you're absolutely going to be disappointed. This is just an opportunity for the boys to get out there, cut up, have a little fun. I think you put a financial incentive in place for the winning team. I don't agree with the concept of having a, you know, playoff reward for the conference of the winning team, although that has been floated, you know? Like baseball used to do where the NL or the AL, they tried this for a couple of years. Whoever won the All-Star game, that conference, that league would be the team that got home field advantage in the World Series. They tried that for a while. Didn't work. Fans kind of hated it. I don't know that there needs to be anything like that in place. I don't know that the NBA really can do anything. And I don't know if I'm going too far with this. So I don't know that they can do anything other than do what I've been doing for them the last couple of years and don't advertise this as a basketball game. Just advertise it as an exhibition where you are going to come watch the best basketball players on the planet be absolute freak athletes.
I mean, the All-Star game is, it, in any sport, is basically a gimmick anyway. Just the entire thing, because it doesn't mean anything. It should be a celebration of the best players in whatever league, but it's not always that.
I agree with that. I think more than anything, it probably should be just a, this is the best that this league has to offer, and we are going to come here and we are going to enjoy them being freak athletes and celebrate the best of the best on planet Earth. I do agree with that, and I think they're going to have to start leaning into that a little bit more. If, again, does that get people watching?
Here's the problem, as we've been talking about some, is viewership is down across the board anyway for the NBA. We'll see if it picks up after next week, after the Super Bowl's over, which I believe generally is when viewership really picks up for them. But if it doesn't, they've got a problem with people just not watching, period.
That's also true. That's also true. We'll come back to that here a little bit later on in the show, but your All-Star reserves are out. We will give you our thoughts on those coming up later on in the broadcast. And I guess that is kind of true, though, because I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, we're going to talk All-Star reserves later, and I also recognize if this was next week, we wouldn't be, because we'd be dialed in on the Super Bowl, right? Like, if this is next week, I don't know that we're spending more than, like, one item on the cheat sheet on this instead of a whole segment.
By the way, because I don't remember, who won the in-season tournament?
The Memphis Grizzlies. I actually don't remember, which is kind of a problem.
You know why you remember last year? Because it was the Lakers.
You know who I know it wasn't this year? Golden State.
Right.
I know it wasn't Golden State, who, by the way, I don't think is going to make the playoffs this year. I think they're cooked. I think, I think you may have gotten your wish. I think the NBA world may be free of the golden child. We'll see. We'll talk about that, because a week and 3 days from now, we jump into the NBA coverage. Hey, it's item number two. The NFL this season recorded its fewest number of concussions since it began tracking the data back in 2015. That, according to the NFL yesterday, they reported 182 concussions during games and practices in both the preseason and regular season. That is a 17% drop in the total number of concussions from 2023. The previous low for the same time period dated back to 2022, when there were 187 concussions over that period. The five-year rolling average, with the exclusion of 2020, which, of course, was the COVID season that took place, 17 years ago or so? With the exception of the 2020 season, the five-year rolling average of concussions per season is 211. So this year, the number of concussions was nearly 30 less than the five-year rolling average coming into this season. The NFL cites three different primary causes for that. The first thing that they are citing is the introduction and mandatory wearing of the guardian caps. Remember, all non-quarterbacks and kickers are obligated to wear the guardian caps in camp and in the off-season games, etc. Not in the preseason games, but in the scrimmages, the joint practices, the regular practices, etc. Obligated to wear the guardian cap. And players this year did have the option, if they wished to include the guardian cap in their Sunday outfit, in their Sunday, I don't know why I called it an outfit.
It's a uniform. We see them on occasion. They're not, I mean, they're scattered throughout the league. Like, maybe one guy on a team will wear them, but I wonder if it'll catch on.
There's a couple. I think the Colts, if I recall correctly, I think the Colts have like three starters wearing them. I know Tampa has two. I think there was like one more team. Maybe the Rams. I think the Rams had two or three guys. There are a number of teams that have a guy wearing the Guardian cap. There are a very few teams that have multiple guys wearing the Guardian caps. But the league did approve the Guardian caps to be a part of the uniform, an optional one, if the players decided that they wanted to wear one this year. The second thing that they cite are the rules changes this year as far as shots to the head, etc. The third thing that they credit is the kickoff rule, the new kickoff style. In fact, they said that 43% less concussion, excuse me, a 43% lower concussion rate. Now, here's the interesting thing. The rate of concussions dropped by 43%. The number of concussions sustained actually only went down by like two or three total concussions. The reason why is the new kickoff rule also increased the number of kickoffs that were returned this year. So we had a almost 50% elevation in the number of kickoffs that were returned, which means that the concussion rate per kickoff dropped 43%, even though the number of concussions only went down two or three. I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense.
All right, we're a year in now. What did you think about the kickoff?
By like week three, I was like, haven't we always done it this way?
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah, so I'm good with it. I don't think it had a noticeable impact on the game. I think the only impact it had, Zoe, was the number of people that I had to listen to in bars and in houses going, I hate this. Not really a reason for it other than it's not what I'm used to.
And it's a little complicated. I mean, understanding drop zone and all that kind of stuff. I mean, when you're used to it, they just kick the ball.
Yeah, I think it's complicated. If you want it to be. Like, if you're like, I don't like it, and therefore I don't want to learn it, then it was complicated. I mean, the day they dropped the change, I was like, okay, got it. Let's do this thing. Let's see how it goes. I'm good with it, I think. All right, item number three. And we're going to talk about this when we come back because this is a dynamic situation for the Clemson Tigers. ESPN has picked up the option to continue with the Atlantic Coast Conference's grant of rights agreement. ESPN will now carry ACC sporting events through the year 2036. That's a over a decade away. So for the next decade plus a year, the ACC will see their sports primarily carried by ESPN. That's not the story, because that has been pretty much expected. If that wasn't expected, Florida State and Clemson wouldn't have filed lawsuits to try to get out of it. We knew ESPN was going to pick up the option. We knew they were going to maintain their grant of rights. That's why we've all been saying the grant of rights runs through 2026. Not the grant of rights runs through 2026 unless ESPN decides not to pick up the contract, in which case it'll end in 2027, because we knew that wasn't going to be the case. What is interesting about this is a little tidbit of information that came out within this announcement that maybe be the breadcrumb that leads Florida State, that leads Clemson to dropping their lawsuits against the ACC and potentially posturing the ACC to fight with the Big 12 to become the EEC, the Everybody Else Conference, at the end of whatever conference expansion looks like. And we are going to address that when we come back here in just a minute from right now. I am Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, is on the ones and twos. You should be on the phone line at 844-326-3663 on the text line at the same number. We're back after this. It's the Fan Upstate.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN announced yesterday that they have picked up the coverage rights to the ACC until 2036. This is not an unexpected development. That is the grant of rights that was already in place. ESPN has picked up their option on the ACC's contract to carry ACC sports coverage through 2036. Obviously, ESPN will not carry everything the ACC does. We also know, as we pointed out last year, that they are being covered on the absolute juggernaut of a station that is the CW. I think Clemson played, what, two football games on the CW last year? But
at what point will you stop cracking on the CW?
Probably right now. I probably shouldn't do that.
Because, dude, they got a ton of sports.
They do
on CW.
Have a ton of sports over there.
They are now second to ESPN. Well, third to ESPN and Fox, maybe.
I mean, they might. You might not be wrong. CW is putting in work over there. They should get some credit for that. Anyway, there are options for the ACC to put non-ESPN televised games onto other networks where applicable. So, this is not an unexpected development. In fact, quite the opposite. It was always going to go this way. There is no world in which ESPN was not going to grab the ACC's rights because, hey, even if it is a second, hell, maybe at this point, third-tier conference, there are still brands in that conference that are worth fighting for. Clemson and Florida State primarily. But they also have the rights to basketball, which means they have the opportunity to show nationally televised Duke and North Carolina games. There is value in that to the network, etc. That's not, to me, the story about all of this. The story to all of this was a little blurb that came out in the middle of this. After ESPN agreed to pick up the option, a decision the VACC Board of Directors voted to approve Wednesday, sources told other outlets that the conference is working on additional value adds, which could include creating more marquee matchups in football and men's basketball to maximize content on the ESPN network that would help pave the way towards a new revenue distribution model. Effectively, what a new model would look like is exactly, or at least the foundation is going to be exactly, what Clemson and Florida State were fighting for. A distribution model which hands more money to the schools that add more value to the contract. Florida State and Clemson wanted out, in large part because of the fact that Florida State and Clemson received the same conference payout as, say, Wake Forest did, as, say, Louisville did. While obviously adding more in terms of value to what is being viewed on TV. Now, maybe not the same after FSU went 2-10 this past season, but certainly Clemson, after making the playoff this year, after becoming a team that is considered a top 12 favorite to get back in next year by way of winning the conference, there's value there. So with the new agreement, the belief is that the ACC is going to be working towards creating a working model that will ultimately allow it to give more money to schools that add more value to the television contracts. We got to see what the terms look like. We got to see what the conditions look like. I had to sign a terms and conditions sheet yesterday to play video games. So it was like, 117 pages of legalese just to say, I want to play Rocket League now, please. That was it.
How much of it did you actually?
0%.
Okay, all right.
I read where it said you must accept terms and conditions to carry on, and then I went and read the button that said accept. That was it. I suspect there's probably going to be a little bit more research that goes into the ACC's terms and conditions, but we have to find out what the terms and conditions of this agreement, this arrangement are. However, it does appear on its surface level, as if to some degree, Clemson and Florida State are getting what they want. Now, again, I think we have to wait and see what this new structured format would look like. There is a rumor out there that Notre Dame would be willing to expand its relationship with the Atlantic Coast Conference. Notre Dame would be willing to play more games against top flight Atlantic Coast Conference competitors. As a matter of fact, Notre Dame AD Pete Bavakwa said that Notre Dame is specifically open to playing more games against Clemson in the future. Notre Dame currently plays 5 to 6 regular season football games against the ACC annually and is a member of the ACC in all other sports outside of football. They have said that they are potentially willing to expand their relationship. Now, I'm going to say this lovingly and respectfully to all of you in the Armada. If you are grabbing your phone to text 844-326-3663 right now, and if that text was going to say Notre Dame should just join the conference or a conference, save it. Save your breath. Save your energy. Save your phone screen. Save your thumbs. Whatever you want to save. Save it. Because as I have explained a couple of times, Notre Dame has precisely and exactly zero reason to join any conference at all. They have none. In fact, they have a whole hell of a lot of reasons not to join a conference in general. Those reasons are, as I have mentioned, multifold. Number one, because of their television contract with NBC. Bong, bong, bong. That's NBC, isn't it?
It is, but you said bong, 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 which was, you know.
How do you make that sound? Ding, ding, ding.
That would be better. Yeah, it doesn't imply something else.
Like we're hanging out with Urban on his boat.
Some stoner said, bro.
Bro, we got our own network, bro.
Wow.
Their contract with NBC means that Notre Dame is getting paid about the same to more than what most schools are getting out of their conference television contracts. Number two, they, on top of getting the same amount of money, effectively have a home network for all of their home games and a good chunk of their road games, which means that TV network is keeping Notre Dame at the front of the line in terms of brand awareness. Number three, all of the little bonus money that is handed out for performance, Notre Dame gets to keep all of it. I pointed this out. It is roughly estimated that Ohio State and Notre Dame, by way of making it to and playing in the 2024 College Football National Championship game, made somewhere in the neighborhood of $27 million. Ohio State has to take the chunk of that $27 million and put it into a pot that then gets spread out across the rest of the Big Ten. You know what Notre Dame gets to do with their $27 million? Whatever the hell they want. Turns out, not only are they not going to join a conference, turns out it would cost them a lot of money if they did. Of course, they're not going to. But they are still a valuable brand. And so for the ACC to get Notre Dame to agree to playing specifically their crown jewel teams more often, that's beneficial for the ACC. Here's the point of all of this. If the ACC does indeed approve, and I believe that they will approve, it won't be unanimous because some of the schools are really mad at Florida State and at Clemson for causing the chaos in the first place. But if the ACC does approve, and they will, a revenue distribution model that sees more money going to the teams that empirically add more value to the conference, it means that Florida State and Clemson will have gotten their way. They probably still aren't going to make as much as they would be able to make in the Big Ten or in the SEC. But neither one of those conferences has made it clear that if Florida State and Clemson got out, they would even get an invite. I suspect Clemson definitively would. I assume Florida State would, but there's no way of knowing. And if Florida State blew up the ACC and had nowhere to go, if Clemson blew up the ACC and had nowhere to go, they'd screw themselves. Not just everybody in the conference, but themselves. So they can't. They're going to get what they want. It's still not going to get as much as they could, but it's what they want. And it's a step in the direction of the ACC potentially surviving beyond 2036. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I do want to clarify something about that last segment that we just talked about, the ACC story. If you're just tuning in, you're just getting to work, you're just getting yourself set up, set in, whatever. Maybe you just got in the car to drive to work and you're just tuning in. Don't worry, boo. I got you. ESPN has picked up their option to continue their relationship with the Atlantic Coast Conference, broadcasting sporting events for that conference. The pickup extends the partnership to 2036. As I've said a couple of times, this was pretty much expected, right? The only way ESPN obviously would have dropped this deal is if it was going to cost them money. It wasn't, because even if the ACC ain't the SEC and it ain't the Big Ten, hell, it might not even be the Big 12 anymore. Even if that was the case, it's not a loser, right? It's not a money loser. It may be full of losers, but it's not a money loser, right? So they weren't going to let this go, which is why all of us dorks with mics, when talking about this story, specifically with the lawsuits that have been going on with Florida State and Clemson for the past, coming up on a year here, why we've all been saying the grant of rights ends in 2036, because there was never a world in which ESPN was not extending this deal by picking up the option. Second part of that story is one of the discussion points that's been apparently circulated amongst ACC commissioners is coming up with a payout structure that would give more money to those schools that bring more money into the fold. That would mean for football season, the teams that are creating more national games that are being picked up and covered would get more money. The teams that are going to higher prestige bowl games will get more money. The teams that are going to college football playoffs would get more money. During basketball season, same scenario. Teams that are getting more national games would get more money out of the pot. Teams that are making the NCAA tournament would get more out of the pot. Teams that are creating Elite Eights and Final Fours and national championship game appearances would get more money out of the pot. This is what Florida State and Clemson were asking for that led up to the lawsuits that both of those schools have filed against the conference. It is being reported, and I do want to make this very clear. This is one of those times that my skepticism and, dare I say, cynicism is kicking in a little bit. These reports, not about the option being picked up by ESPN, but of all of the results and ramifications of the option being picked up by ESPN, are being reported by ESPN. Now, there's other outlets that are jumping on board and reporting this as well. But the conversation, not about ESPN announcing that they were pick up the option. Because, of course, ESPN's going to announce that ESPN picked up the option. They're ESPN. They had that information early. They had the Shams bomb about themselves ready to fire off. The stuff that I am talking about is the report that is going around right now about the possibility of the Atlantic Coast Conference creating the revenue split system that Florida State and Clemson asked for and were told no thank you before they filed these lawsuits. And another report that has been flying around right now that Florida State and Clemson, if this new revenue distribution model is accepted and approved by the ACC, may drop their lawsuits against the ACC, will effectively once again become members in good standing of the conference. Not members who are standing in the conference, but also trying to kill the conference with lawsuits. They would drop the lawsuits and go back to being good conference buddies with everybody else that is in said Atlantic Coast Conference. Now, it is ESPN reporting that. And let us be, in our skeptical minds, very clear. Who stands to benefit the most from that? ESPN, right? ESPN. They have the TV contracts. Not only do they have the TV contracts, but as part of this effort, potentially, as part of this effort to be able to generate and sustain that revenue distribution model, the ACC is apparently looking into creating value-add occasions, value-add games. That is to say, when they are putting together schedules, they may begin to put those schedules together with the mindset of what are the most attractive football games we can put together, right? Now, all of a sudden, maybe Florida State and Clemson are playing more towards the end of the season because potentially, with no divisions, Florida State, Clemson, and I suspect, though I could be wrong, we'll see, Mike Norvell had better get it in gear down in Tallahassee this year, or he won't be in Tallahassee next year. But if they get it together down there, and they get pushed in the right direction, and Florida State, Clemson becomes a relatively regular ACC championship game qualifier, especially if the college football playoff does not change and they decide that there is a special reward for winning a Power Four conference. Well, now all of a sudden, Clemson, Florida State looks like it's a game that would gain national attention. And if it is a game that would gain, man, I got to stop saying words that sound like each other. If it is a game that would gain national prominence, now all of the sudden, that is a game that it is not going to take much to get ESPN to feature on the big network, get a little more money flowing into the coffers, and now that money can go to those two schools. If the ACC can successfully negotiate with Notre Dame and get them to say, instead of playing five or six ACC football games a year, let's say they get them to up that number to seven or eight ACC games per year. Well, if the ACC ends up with the broadcast rights to, let's say, half of those games, with Notre Dame retaining the broadcast rights to the other half, if they get half those games, that's a national brand that is now pumping money into the coffers just by agreeing to come play your teams. You put that money into the coffers, that's a little bit more money that you can divvy up at the end of the year, including giving a little extra to your crown jewels. Clemson, Florida State, they stay happy. All of these things combined are the reason that I think this story is a big story. Not because they picked up the option. Of course they did. They were never not going to pick up the option. The ACC ain't the Big Ten, and it ain't the SEC. You know what else it ain't? It ain't a money loser. There is still enough ongoing in that conference that it will have attention paid to it. And if that is the case, then it's a moneymaker. And Notre Dame, ESPN, above all else, is going to make whatever decision they can make in order to make the most money. And if that is what the goal is, then keeping the ACC in their portfolio is the right call. This should not come as a shock to anybody. This is, as I said, the reason when we've had these discussions and we have regularly mentioned the ACC's grant of rights. You never heard anybody with a microphone say the grant of rights ends in 2027 unless ESPN picks up the option and takes it all the way to 2036. We just all said it ends in 2036. And the reason we have all said it ends in 2036 is because there wasn't a world. There wasn't a world that ESPN wasn't picking up the option. The question mark was going to be, would they pick up the option and create it in a way that the ACC could make its two, Lonzo, or Florida State and Clemson, the two top brands in the ACC? Maybe add Miami in there?
Yes.
I think so.
I don't know. After what Florida State did last year, they may have set themselves back a little bit. But yeah.
I think they are certainly.
Historically, yes.
I think they have certainly put themselves in a position where they are for the first time maybe ever absolutely in risk of losing that distinction, right? Florida State comes out next year, and Mike Norvell has leaned into the portal for a second year in a row. He's coaching a portal team this year. If Mike Norvell and the Noles don't get it right this year, I agree with you. They become in danger of losing their ACC bell cow status that they currently hold alongside Clemson. And I would say to a lesser but still accurate degree, DU down in Coral Gables. And if that ends up being the case, now all this work goes in for nothing. But for now. They still have that status until they go 10-2 this year and they lose it. They still have that status. They asked for a revenue distribution model that would favor the teams that add more value. Clemson, Florida State, Miami appear to be the ones. And it looks like with this move, and it looks like with the ACC, I think genuinely recognizing that they have a problem. Their problem is that even with all this going on, those two schools did not drop their lawsuits. Effectively, you know what I think this is? I think this is the ACC offering an olive branch to Florida State and Clemson. I think this is the ACC attempting to settle these lawsuits without having to settle the lawsuits, right? You know what I mean? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, if we settle this thing out of court, it's going to be a lot less nasty. It's going to be a lot less hateful. There's going to be a lot less lawyers' fees, a lot less legal fees, a lot less court case. If we can get this thing settled away from the courtroom, that's going to be good for everybody. So what do you say, Knowles? What do you say, Los Tigres? What do you say that we give you what you want? And if we give you what you want, you drop these lawsuits and we all move on like the happy little family that we always have been. I think that's what the play is from the ACC here. They get the money from ESPN. That's locked up. They can move on from that. They talk to ESPN. They say, hey, look, if we create more value-add games, more games that jump off the paper at you on Saturdays in football season, throughout the week in basketball season, if we create games that are going to sell themselves, would you be willing to maybe pick up a few more games a la carte? Maybe throw a little more money in the pile? It appears on the surface the answer to that is yes. It appears on the surface that the ACC looked at that situation and went, great, then we'll have enough that we can split this money up. We'll give it a little extra to FSU. We'll give a little extra to Clemson. We'll give a little extra to Miami. We'll give a little extra from the basketball pot to Duke. A little extra from the basketball pot to North Carolina. Come on and raise up, and everybody will be happy. And if everybody's happy, 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 they'll drop those lawsuits. Do I need to go get a tinfoil cap out of Chris's office, Lonzo? Because I feel like that makes a lot of sense.
That's a special tinfoil cap. You might pick up some signals that you weren't expecting. It blocks signals, but it also allows incoming signals.
That explains a lot about Chris.
It does.
Explains a lot about Chris. Yeah, I don't think I need Chris's tinfoil cap today. I think we've pretty much got this thing locked down at this point. I think it basically comes down to the ACC wants to be able to placate Florida State and Clemson. In order to placate Florida State and Clemson, and maybe to some degree Miami, though Miami didn't get on board with the lawsuits, the popular reporting was that a lot of the ACC schools that might otherwise join Florida State and Clemson saw those two schools filing lawsuits, saw that those lawsuits were moving forward, and basically said, there's no need for us to get involved. There's no need for us. There's not going to be anything that our attorneys are going to add to those lawsuits. There's not going to be any additional knowledge that we're going to provide. The only thing that is going to happen is it is going to put us onto the exact same bleep list with the conference that those schools are on, that those schools now reside on. And if we don't do that and they win the schools, if we don't join them and the schools win, great. They have given us a roadmap to getting on up out of here. If we follow them and they lose, our lives are worse for it too. It's like when you go to a party and you're getting ready to go, but you don't want to be the rude person that's the first person to tell the host, yo, I'm out of here. I'm not having fun anymore. I got a jet. What do? You wait till somebody else leaves. And then once they leave and the host is already kind of in that spot, but they've accepted that people are starting to leave the party, then you go, hey, bud, my kid's sick. My dog threw up on the floor. Oh, crap, I forgot to turn off the stove. I got to go home. Then you bail. I think the other schools waited. But now that Florida State and Miami and Clemson, well, really Florida State and Clemson, probably Miami, are getting what they wanted out of the deal, I think the ACC is probably going to chill out for like a while now. We'll see how much money they end up getting out of this stuff. You know who should get a lot of money? Lonzo, just for reading sports flashes.
It is torturous. The NBA's All-Star Reserves were named yesterday, led by Spurs rookie Victor Wembanyama, who turned 21 earlier this month. Joining Wemby in the West are Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Jaren Jackson Jr., Alperen Sengun, and Jalen Williams. In the East, the reserves include Jaylen Brown, Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham, Damian Lillard, and Tyler Hero, spelled with two R's, apparently. The Cleveland Cavaliers with Garland, Mobley, and star Donovan Mitchell were the only team with three selections. The NFL reported yesterday that 182 concussions were recorded in regular season games this year, the lowest number since the league began recording the injuries in 2016. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 as Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. It's Furman versus ETSU right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.